May we bow down our heads in prayer. Father everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God and you have no rival. We thank you for every opportunity of coming together in your name. There is no time spent with you that is wasted. Every time spent with you is richly blessed, for you are the owner of every existence. Father, speak to us and enable us to listen to your word and live our lives according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to begin by thanking God for another opportunity of standing before you in this church, which I love so much. And I want to thank our brother, Elder Frank, who has always reached out to us to enable us participate in the ministry here. As you all know, Pastor Elder Frank is the one that God used to open the door of the church for us to come in. And ever since then, it's been a very cordial relationship. So we're so thankful to God for that. It's our prayer that God strengthens him and family and the entire member of Life Creek Church and the English service in particular. In Jesus' name, amen. Our reflection today will be taken from the book of Luke, chapter 14. But the theme is the cost of discipleship, the cost of discipleship. And I want to read the passage from where it's taken in Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, 25 to 33. It says, now great multitudes accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassy and asks terms of peace. So therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. So this is a Bible passage. So our theme is the cost of discipleship. And the text I'm picking up from this passage is verse 27, which says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me," and is emphatic, "cannot be my disciple." Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me, after Jesus, cannot be Jesus' disciple. So Jesus is emphatic in the Bible, in this Bible verse, about what it takes to be his disciple. What does Jesus say takes to be his disciple? Bearing your own cross. You have to bear your own cross in order to be a disciple of Jesus. There was somebody who had this and said, "Oh, I have to bear a cross in order to be a disciple of Jesus." So he built a cross and started to carry the cross around. But he didn't quite understand it. Bearing your own cross. What does it mean? Bearing of cross. Bearing, in particular, emphasizes that it must be your character or your manner of life or a kind of sacrifice. Cross is a sacrifice. Jesus was sacrificed on the cross for us. So it must be associated with sacrifice. Things that you wouldn't otherwise done, but you choose to do them because of Christ. Things that are acceptable before God. So, you allow yourself to suffer. Allow yourself to be put in a disadvantaged position because you are following Christ, or as you follow Christ. The Bible never said it's going to be an easy way. Following Christ is not an easy way. Carrying cross is not celebration. Cross is suffering. Cross is the worst kind of punishment meted out when the Roman Empire ruled the world, when they were in control. The cross was the highest punishment. That's why Jesus had to be nailed on the cross. Before you are nailed on the cross, you are given 39 lashes. You know what a lash means? A whip made of skin with medals placed intermittently in it. And then you are whipped 39 times by fierce-looking Roman soldiers. Some people don't survive the first 5 lashing before they die. But if you happen to survive the lashing, then you are nailed on the cross as the last part of it. So it's not an easy way. Jesus had to walk all the way from Jerusalem, city of Jerusalem, to Golgotha, with carrying the cross after the lashing. People were mocking him, but he never gave up. On his way, he was consoling women. "Women of Israel, don't cry for yourselves. Don't cry for me, but cry for yourselves and your children." After being nailed on the cross, why it is so hard is that you imagine 6 inches nail being driven into your palm and on your legs, and then you are suspended in the sky with those nails bearing your weight. So heavy, so intense suffering. But despite that, in that pain and in that suffering, Jesus was still reaching out to people. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." He wasn't complaining. He wasn't saying, "Father, destroy them for doing this." But he was accepting the suffering because he knew what it was leading to. He was even promising people paradise. Nobody ever heard of any bad word from him while going through such intense suffering. So that's what Jesus is saying. You must bear your own cross. That one was Jesus' own cross. So Jesus is not expecting you to go and be nailed on the cross again. He has done that. That has come and gone. So there must be something in your life that you sacrifice for the sake of Christ. So that is the cost of being a disciple, of following Jesus, bearing of cross. So before you can follow Christ, you must be ready to even face death for the sake of Christ and do whatever it takes to live your life for Christ while still here on earth. Do whatever it takes, because time is coming when the opportunity will no longer be there. Now you have strength. You are able to do many things. You have many skills you can give. There are many people who have things to do this morning, but instead of going for those things, they choose to go and worship Christ. There are many who have the opportunity to worship, but rather than going to church, they'll choose to be elsewhere to enjoy themselves or to celebrate. But this is the time when we are able to do the best we can for the sake of He who gave His life for us, Jesus Christ. We need to sacrifice, carry our own cross. What is your own cross? What sacrifices do you have to make because of Christ? What suffering do you have to go through because of Christ? What will you forfeit in this life because of Christ? So, in that Luke chapter 14, 28 and 29, it says, "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him." You cannot step out to say you are following Christ without counting the cost. You must be completely for Christ, or you are not for Christ. If you are not completely for Christ, then you are not for Him. Or if you are for Christ, but you are not ready to bear the cost, to sacrifice, to suffer for His sake, to go extra miles because of Christ, then you are not able to complete your followership. So it's important. What follows when you don't complete or accomplish your task as a follower of Christ may at the end be a mockery. I want to give an example about this. Jesus gave an example of two builders. One of them was building in a rocky foundation that is deep. Another one is building in a shallow foundation that was made on the sand. Both of them were building. They were making efforts. They erected the building. They finished it. But when the wind came, it blew down the one that was made on the sandy and shallow foundation, which means it became a wasted effort. The person that built on a rocky foundation, the wind couldn't shake it. But the one that was on a shallow, sandy foundation easily collapsed because the foundation was not strong. Both of them were building. We can be building our Christian life today, but on which foundation are you making sacrifice? Is it like a cross to you? I also want to make a reference to what David did when God gave him options, and he chose the option of God punishing them. That is in the book of, it's in Numbers, not in Numbers, but in Chronicles. He came to a piece of land that belonged to Onan and wanted to acquire that land to build a temple for God and wanted to make sacrifices there. And then Onan said, "No, king, since you want to build a temple for God, take it for free. You can have it. You don't need to pay." David said, "No, far be it from me that I should give to God something that costs me nothing." He didn't want to give to God something that cost him nothing. When you are give, some people like to give to God something that's spare, that they don't need, then they give it to God. Something that is important to them is kept and never given to God. Time that is precious to them is not given to God. But remember, everything belongs to God. So it's important for us to realize that following Christ must cost us something. That's why he said, if you don't bear the cross, your own cross, you cannot, he said emphatically, you cannot be my disciple. So it entails bearing of cross, sacrificing for the sake of Christ, giving up something for the sake of Christ. Because heaven is real, hell is real, the present life is real. I'm aware I am here. You are aware you are here. So this present life is real. Death is real because we've lost loved ones. There are times we are here. There are times we are no more. And eternal life is real as well as eternal death is real. If Jesus, if not so, Jesus will not be sounding all these warnings. He knew why he sounds all these warnings, because everything being said is true. One thing we are aware of is that we are here today. And one thing we also must be aware of is that possibly in 50 years from now, we may not be here. 100 years, 200 years, assuming we're here in the next 200 years, every press in the world will be coming to take pictures and monitor how we eat. How do we do that? So our stay here is highly short-lived. We have a very short time here on earth, and that will be gone. So we are here today, it's real. And there'll be a time when we'll not be here, it's real. And after that, what we follow? There is something I always hear, which I have not seen in the Bible. Whenever a person dies, people say, "Oh, I know he is in heaven with the grandpa. Or he is in heaven." The Bible never told me that whoever dies goes to heaven. The people who go to heaven are people, the Bible says, those who believe in him are given the power to become the children of God. And the Bible said, God loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. Which means whoever does not believe in him will perish. So it's not whenever everybody dies, he goes to heaven. You see people who have never believed in Christ, but they want to be in heaven. They don't want to bear the cross of following Christ. They want only the good aspects. No time to spend for Christ. No time to be with believers in Christ. But they want it in heaven at the end. It's not a right. It's a gift given by God to those who love him and those who follow him. And time we live on earth is the opportunity We have to do that because time is coming when that opportunity will be gone. So, following Christ is not easy. Jesus added by saying in Mark 8:36, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" You overlook every suffering. You want it the easiest way. Avoid anything that will get you involved in the things of Christ while you have the ability in order to gain this world. And Jesus says, what you follow that is loss of soul. What does it profit a man, a person, to gain the whole world? And when this life is over, when every opportunity given us to serve in this life is over, and there's no more opportunity to serve again, you find out that you're lost. So why not we make the best use of the time we have now to put every effort, to make every effort to serve He who originated everything, He from whom life came, He from whom everything that we see and things we don't even see come from, and who has promised us eternal life. Can we not apply everything that it takes? I also want to look at Luke chapter 9, 57 to 52. It says, as they were going along the road, Jesus and his disciples were going along the road. Someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Yes, he saw what Jesus was doing. Jesus was feeding people. He was healing the sick. So he told him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Homeless. The Bible didn't tell us that the man followed. But Jesus looked at the other person and said, "Okay, follow me, you." But the man said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." The first one said, "Lord, I will follow you." Jesus said, "Birds have their nests, foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Possibly he walked away. So Jesus talked to this man, "Follow me." Maybe he heard what was told to the first person, that Jesus had no place to live. So he thought, maybe how can I follow this man that has no place to live? So he started to give reasons. "Oh, I will follow you, but allow me to go and bury my father first." Giving excuses why you will not follow Christ or why you will not follow do the work of Christ. And what was the response of Jesus? But he said, and Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." That is the desire. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Don't give excuses. Don't say, "Oh, this is holding me back. Because of this, I can't do it. Because of this, I can't go to church." The first duty you have is to worship God who gives you life, who gives you time. There was a place I went to talk to a people, and somebody told me, "Yes, I don't go to church because I have no time. I have too many things." I told him, "You are correct. You have no time. Because time belongs to God, not you. So that time you think you are holding on to, it's not yours, it's God's. So you are correct to say you have no time because it belongs to God. But what I'm saying is that why not give a little of that time that God gave you back to Him?" See, so we cannot spend our whole life attending to things of this life without putting God at the center, or putting things that God cares about at the center of our lives. We need to look deeply into the way we live our lives. And in that same Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." If you put your hand in the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, if you are following Jesus without carrying the cross, without bearing the consequences, without allowing yourself to go through the suffering that is involved in following Jesus, then you are not fit. You are not fit for the kingdom of God. You must be totally with him, or you leave him, you are out of him. So Jesus invites us to bear the cross as we follow him. And if you look at a similar book in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, from verse 15 to 20, God was telling the people of Israel, "See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you this day that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land which you are going over to the Jordan to enter and possess. And I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and cleaving on him. For that means life to you and length of days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." It's important for us to give absolute commitment to God. Let God come first in your life. He is the owner of life. He is the owner of everything. That God allow things to happen, or that God still allow us to be waking up and sleeping and moving around, is because of his grace. But that doesn't mean God overlooks the way we spend the time he gave us on this earth. God, in the place I preached last weekend in California, I was emphatic about the reason why God created us. God did not create us here just to eat, grow, walk, sleep, marry, get children, get old, die. That wasn't the reason why God created us. God created us for the purpose of worshiping him. God created us to worship him. All those things are additional. Jesus said, "Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added." All those things we go after will be added. It's like you are in a restaurant and you want to eat, and they are serving you, you've paid for the main food, and while the food is being prepared, they say, "Oh, give me the dessert first. Let me eat the dessert." And they give you the dessert, you finish the dessert, and say, "Thank you, pay and go away." But you've not touched the main food. The main reason why God created us is to worship him. Every other thing is additional. God will provide you with all those things. Let the center of your life be on how to please God and how to worship him, no matter what it takes. That's why Jesus said, you cannot be his disciple if you can't carry the cross. So in conclusion, I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 12, 1 to 4. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's a race. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured it. And he's telling us to endure the cross. But how can you endure the cross which you are not yet carrying? You must carry the cross before you talk of enduring it. Make yourself available to carry the cross, to undertake things that are challenging for the sake of Christ. So Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the Father of the throne of God. So do not grow weary in serving God or in following Jesus. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. You heard me describe how he was lashed. So that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted in your struggle against sin. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. But that's what Jesus is inviting us to do. And finally, Colossians 3, 1 to 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, some versions say, set your affection on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, because they are highly short-lived, at most another 100 years. And then for eternity, where will you be? And what have you preserved for yourself for eternity? So set your affection on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hid in Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And for us to finish up, I want us to sing this song, which says, and I want us to meditate on the words of the song. When Jesus comes to reward his servants, is anybody able to play it? Or can I go ahead to sing?